And good afternoon, and welcome to the April 18th edition of Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet in the studio with Patty Fink and Alex the Intern.
Listening to
and Laron has laryngitis, something I think most of you would hope that I would get, not Laron.
I wonder if it's a laryngitis.
It could be laryngitis. That must be what it is.
So clever.
Just being punny, Laron.
You can friend us on Facebook and download podcasts of the show at lambdaweekly.com. A real interesting thing that Obama did this week. You know, there have been lots of complaints that he hasn't followed through on some campaign promises like get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell and get rid of or help get ENDA passed. But he passed an executive order. It's certainly something that affects us. And what was the executive order?
That their hospital visitation rights for gay and lesbian people and partners, that you should be able to visit.
You can visit, right. But it affects more than just gays and lesbians. What it really said was anybody who's in the hospital can designate who they want to come visit them.
Right. And one of the things that I think is most interesting is people on the web who are commenting about this in various places, you know, both left, center, and right, are noting that it's, well, you know, they have to honor the advance directives. And I'm like, this is nothing new. This is basically the president saying, follow the law.
Mm-hmm. And follow those directives.
Follow the advance directives and the medical powers
but
of attorney.
But it is more than that, though, also, because if, you know, let's say Alex doesn't have a directive and something were to happen here and we were to rush to the hospital with him and he were to say, no, I want David and Patty to come in with me, he doesn't have to say, well, these are my parents, David and Patty, and, you know, and make up
God.
Some stupid story like that. No, but seriously, he could say, no, I want Patty and David to come in with me.
And they need to honor that.
And you have, and the hospital would have to honor that. Here's what he actually said. He said, often, a widow or widower with no children is denied the support and comfort of a good friend. Members of religious orders are sometimes unable to choose someone other than an immediate family member to visit them and make medical decisions on their behalf. Also uniquely affected are gay and lesbian Americans who are often barred from the bedsides of the partners with whom they may have spent decades of their life, unable to be there for the person they love, and unable to act as a legal surrogate if their partner is incapacitated. It's interesting. You know, he's great with words. I mean, the one thing, love him, hate him, whatever, nobody's going to accuse him of not being great with words. And he was, and he chose them. Members of religious orders. If you're a nun and you want to go to the hospital, or not want to go to, if you end up in the hospital, I want this other nun in there with me. She's the person in the room next to me who I spend my, you know. It just makes sense. And chances are she's not the one generally being denied, unless you're in one of those hospitals where, no, it has to be a relative. My relative lives 10,000 miles from here, you know. It's not possible.
Well, not just that, but I mean, in today's society, I remember when I was little, we moved when I was 6 years old to mm-hmm. a completely different end of Texas. And it was so unusual. It was like, you're not from here. It was like, what an oddity. Somebody moved to the community from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It was really strange.
Yes.
At the time. And today, people move all the time. And people are less tied into staying in close relationships with family members who hate them, you know, whether they're gay or not. I mean, there are lots of family disputes where you say, I don't speak to my brother. I don't speak to my parents. I'm moved on, and there are people in their lives that are just as close and obviously closer than their immediate family members.
In my case, my immediate family is my aunt and uncle who are in their late 80s. They're my closest relatives. And then another, and they're in Florida, and another aunt and uncle who are in their 90s in New York. Then I have some cousins. And other than that, I live with somebody, but, you know, Miguel is not related to me, and Miguel's closest relatives are in Bolivia. So what sense does that make? I mean, that's where not honoring the person that you want to come in to doesn't even make sense. You know, I wrote about a little incident that happened to me when my partner died. 1989, 20 years ago in January, His parents, we were close. It was not that. His parents were one of the 10 original founders of Parents of Gays, which is now known as PFLAG. There were 10 families that got together. His family was one of them. And his mother, he knew better. His mother was not the one to make the decisions.
Because some people cannot be objective about this
stuff. Love
her. That's why we always say. That's why we always say when you're in a crisis situation, for example, mm-hmm. in a hospital, have someone else with you because the person, the loved one is listening to the doctor say whether they're going to live or not,
mm-hmm.
and somebody else needs to be there to hear the details.
Right.
Well, that's how it was when my mom was in the hospital. My dad was listening. Is she going to be okay? And I was listening for all the finer points.
And you were the one who helped make some decisions.
Yeah.
Because your father was a little bit too close to the situation.
Yeah, he was very upset for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. They've been together 30 years.
In our case, his mother and John had all of the directives in place. And, you know, some of these right-wing comments that have been on the blogs this week have been infuriating. Because, well, all you have to do is get your paperwork in place and this destroys marriage. Well, it doesn't destroy marriage because what would you like John to have done? He was in the hospital for 3 months before he died. Should he have gone out and gotten married to make sure that his mother wasn't the one making those decisions?
Well, and what's insane is, I mean, this happened in Texas when we did the whole Prop 2 fight in 2005. Well, you can just go out and get contracts with an attorney. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, guess what? People have those contracts, and they go and get them.
And
they get powers of attorney, medical powers of attorney, durable powers of attorney in all kinds of areas of life. They get advanced directives. They do wills, and they're blatantly ignored.
Well, and that was my point. It wasn't blatantly ignored. We were taken to court, and at a time 2 weeks before John died that we should have been at his hospital bed, we were in court with his mother who wanted to have the power to make the decisions with us, and here we are in court fighting
exactly.
with his mother about when nobody was denying her the right to get into the hotel room, to the hospital room. Nobody was denying her access. What we were denying her was the right to make the choices because she was hysterical crazy at the time, and well, she still is, but she wasn't thinking straight.
And really, the case that really prompted this was a case that actually happened several years ago. A Washington family went to Florida to board a boat to go on a cruise. It was two lesbians who had been together 18 years. They have 3 children. They were boarding a cruise. They board the boat, and one of them collapses with basically a cerebral aneurysm. They take her ashore. They all go to the hospital, to the emergency room, to Jackson Memorial in Miami. And a social worker tells the partner in the emergency room that this is an anti-gay state, and she's not going to be able
and
to
it only
see
takes
her partner.
One person in that hospital to do that.
Exactly.
To
stop exactly.
You.
She had all of the documents. They completely ignored them, and they didn't give her any information at all. Suddenly, her partner's sister arrives, and they say, "Oh, she's been moved up to another room, and there's no brain activity, and you know, basically, she died. She donated organs, which actually saved 4 other people,
mm-hmm.
But." At the same time, her partner of 18 years
couldn't
be with her when she died because of basically prejudice. They had the legal documents. Mm-hmm. They had the legal documents in place,
right.
And they'd ignored them completely and didn't even give her any information until her partner's sister arrived.
Now, I'm assuming that the same person who did that is going to take Obama's order and say, "Well, I'm not following that. That doesn't apply here."
Because they're not real family. Because that's what we see all over the blogs in the last 2 days.
Right. And here's here's the teeth that he put into it. If that hospital gets federal funding of any sort, in other words, if you're paid through Medicare, Medicaid, or anything else, if they're a research hospital getting any kind of funding, anything at all. Guess what? You're not eligible to receive those funds if you discriminate in these cases. I would love to see some hospital try to discriminate again.
Well, what's
and lose their money and their funding, and they're out of business.
There are so many levels of this that are so insane. But President Obama was on traveling from Miami back to Washington, and telephoned Janice Longbean. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing her last name right. From Air Force One to apologize to her for what happened to her. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting to me is that this case happened several years ago. I think it was 2007. Lambda Legal initiated a lawsuit on behalf of Mrs. Longbean and her kids. And it's just now like come forward that Jackson Memorial actually changed their visitation policy. Mm-hmm. But and yet they're trying to deny that it ever happened. But it certainly came to the attention of President Obama, and he was so moved by it. He said, "This is crazy, and this is something I can say something about." Mm-hmm.
And he did do something about it. And the other thing, you know, I was saying some of the comments that were coming on the blogs from, you know, the right wing, oh, this is horrible, it's destroying marriage. From our side, the comments were, oh, it's only a crumb. And somebody put that on the Dallas Voice blog, and I said, yeah, it's only a crumb unless it affects you. And then it's a life-changing.
Or as another somebody said, you know, there are 1,138 federal rights to marriage, and this is one we can cross off mm-hmm. for now, because this doesn't come with the force of law. We don't have, you know, another president in place may change that. And that's what really ticks me off, is these people who say, oh, well, it's Obama overreaching, and he's usurping his power, and, you know, all of this crap, I think.
When they're saying that, what they're saying is, I don't want you to have
exactly.
access to
they're
your
They're saying,
partner.
I don't want you to have these rights, and... You know, even if you have the stuff in place, too bad you take your chances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's really what they're saying. Right. And are they going to be there when I can't get in to see Aaron? Are they going to take care of Aaron? Are they going to go and be by her bedside?
Well, of course not.
And listen
not.
To her, you know, get me a tissue, hand me a tissue, or whatever it might be, or be with her and hold her hand and get her
first,
sips of water.
But the first,
they're not going to be there for that.
The first instance in his... executive order or executive directive. It was really a directive to Health and Human Services to do something about this. Often a widow or widower with no children is denied support. Now, they're saying with no children, but what if the children live across country?
It doesn't matter.
For each of those married people, okay, that you have a husband and a wife, and one of them will be there for the other one, but one of them is going to die before the other one. What then? What then? The other one's left.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from my father's experience, you develop a network of friends and other people. You know, these are straight people doing this, who they take care of each other. So somebody else is going to see to it that you get to the hospital and are taken care of. What are you going to deny that person? And the answer is, I hope so.
Well, and that's the conflict that keeps coming up. It doesn't even matter if there is someone who's close to you in your immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't even matter. Because what can happen is somebody like Raymond Burr, the actor who starred in Perry Mason all of those years, mm-hmm. he had been with his partner 30 years. They owned a vineyard in a specialty orchid growing business in California. Mm-hmm. And when Raymond Burr died, even though he had all of this stuff in place, a will and everything, was something like distant third cousin shows up and challenges the will. So here now his partner has to defend this in court. He ultimately prevailed, but it cost him probably $25,000-$30,000 to defend the will.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, say this is what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he wanted. He wanted me to have the things we built together, not you who never was in his life. And even if the family member was in his life, you're not in the will.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why we can have all of these things in place and still they don't. They're pretty meaningless to the people who say this is our solution. This is the solution for you. Get these documents, and it's crap. It's complete crap. We know people right here in our own community, multiples of them, who have encountered this. You know, you encountered it.
I encountered it with my father.
And yet this is the solution that Warren Chisholm and mm-hmm. other people, you know,
right.
Kelly Shackelford and others, you know, are slamming down on us.
Because they know it doesn't really work.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. Somebody like a Warren Chisholm, who's a state representative, Kelly Shackelford, who's...
So the Liberty Fund, Eagle Forum.
Yeah, whatever. That's they're pandering to their base, and they know better. And it's not just that they know better, it's the way they want it. they want these special rights, and they don't want us to have them, because then it won't be special rights for them anymore. It's their way of feeling superior. They don't feel everybody should be equal that way. You know, this story is not really related, but to me it is. You remember the story out in Tarleton State about the student who was going to put on a scene from the play Corpus Christi.
Mm-hmm.
And right-wing demonstrators, religious right demonstrators, were hysterical about it. I think I understand their objection to the play. They're not understanding his attraction to the play. His attraction to the play is that if you're black, you see Jesus as possibly being black. If you're gay, you see Jesus as possibly being gay. In other words, you see yourself in Jesus. That's not a bad thing. But
that's the point. Actually.
Well,
right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but that's beside the point.
That's beside the point. That's the point. But that's the attraction to the play for gay Christians, I would say. But they demonstrated against the play and were successful in getting it canceled through what I read on some Christian websites was peaceful protests. I wouldn't call the threats that I turned over to the police that I got in my office at the Dallas Voice the threats of violence, I don't call that peaceful protest. I guess they call it peaceful in that there was no violence, but the police did get involved. Anyway, they were emboldened by this, and now they're going to demonstrate any gay play. Out in Tyler, there was supposed to be a production of The Laramie Project, mm-hmm. which is the play about Matthew Shepard's murder. And so big demonstrations. We don't want that kind of play here in this city. But the Tyler Civic Theater Board, again, approved the production this week. What I think is interesting is it relates back to the Obama executive order, because I think what threatens them is, you know, hospital visits, yeah, that's something, who cares, and let them take care of each other, and, you know. But anytime something like this happens, it threatens them because, ooh, they got another right. Ooh, they got another right. Ooh, that hurts me somehow. And they believe that. Ooh, a gay play. Ooh, a gay play here. But this play was about Matthew Shepard and a murder. So by protesting it, are they saying, well, we really are for his murder? I mean, that's what it says to me. Yeah, you know, we don't like hate crime legislation, and who was it who fought tooth and nail against hate crime legislation? You know, the Matthew Shepard and James L. Byrd Jr. hate crime law. Who fought against it? Well, people who felt threatened by that. So you're saying we should have the right to kill gay people? I don't understand.
Well, maybe they're right there in line with, because, you know, the Laramie Project, if you look at the whole thing, it's about confrontation with one's real feelings mm-hmm. and expression of them. Because, you know, they talked to people on the street, they talked to people who lived in Laramie, who grew up in that community, and how it affected them and what their perceptions were before, during, and after. And then, of course, Westboro Baptist Church. You know, and in the play, as happened in real life, there were people in the community, as Westboro Church was protesting Matthew Shepard's funeral and saying vile things, Matthew's in hell and all this stuff. You know, they put on... they had wings of angels on their backs and, mm-hmm. and formed a circle around the Westboro Baptist Church so that the family and friends moving in and out of the church, you know, as funerals happen, didn't have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know. And which is where the image for angels in America came from.
Exactly.
We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 FM HD1 in Dallas. We'll be back with more right after this.
If you're having a hard time selling that old car truck, or just don't want the bother of selling it, the KNON Vehicle Donation Program can help. Just call 817-KNON-AUTO or donate online at knon.org. It's so easy when the tow truck comes to your home and picks up the vehicle. They give you the paperwork that you'll need and relieve the stress of what to do with the old car that won't sell. The number to call is 817-KNON-AUTO. Or donate online at knon.org.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of
voice of the people.
And you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 FM HD1 in Dallas. We are talking about just some news that happened last week, this week, last week. And we were just talking a little bit about Westboro Baptist Church.
What an amazing group of people. It's. I think they're all related.
They're very sweet people and loving, don't you think?
They're from Topeka, Wichita, Kansas. Wichita. Or are they from Topeka? It's Wichita, I think.
Wichita.
And they've been protesting at in the gay against the gay community for who knows how many years, but they really didn't get any attention at all until they started protesting the funerals of U.S. military service members who were killed in action. And so here they are, you know, basically saying, you know, you died because the United States tolerates, you know, gay people, mm-hmm. or the F word all over his signs. And so one of the fathers of those service members at which Westboro Baptist Church and Fred Phelps, his clan, protested, filed a lawsuit against Westboro Baptist Church, and it's been working its way through the court system upward. And it may eventually reach the Supreme Court of the United States because
they've agreed to hear it. Yeah.
Because the appellate court had stated that ruled that this service member's father has to pay Westboro Baptist Church's legal fees.
They threw out – it was a $3 million judgment against Westboro Church. The appellate court threw out the $3 million, and when you lose on appeal, you pay the court costs, and so it's like $16,000 in court costs that Phelps had to pay that they now have to pay Phelps. He's refusing to do that.
Right, right. So it's going to – it's going up.
But it won't go to the Supreme Court until it's paid. they will not hear a case when the lower court's ruling is not
fulfilled.
I guess. Yeah. What I find interesting about that one, though, is the reason that they overturned it. Now they're overturning it based on free speech, but the issue is you don't have the right to yell fire in a theater. You know, it's that kind of thing that's been ruled on before.
Have you heard what she said about it, though?
Who, Phelps, Roper Phelps, the
yes,
daughter?
Surely.
What did she say?
She said, well, you know, the Supreme Court didn't say you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Mm-hmm. It said you can't yell fire in a crowded theater when the theater's not on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And her contention is, you know, in the legal place of the First Amendment, is that the theater is on fire and they're yelling fire. Because, people need to pay attention.
And what the Supreme Court is going to hear is balancing, you know, not just that, and I'm using that more because that's come up, but that has to do with are there limits to free speech, and they're saying there are in certain very limited cases. What the Supreme Court is going to balance is free speech balanced against a person's right to grieve.
Well, let's take a look at this, though. Because if you look at the, let's say, the GOP convention, the RNC convention in mm-hmm. New York City in 2004, and protesters, freedom of speech, First Amendment, protesting against President Bush at the time, who was, you know, about to be renominated and toward a reelection, were placed, blocks, if not miles away from the place where they were – the person they were protesting and the people they wanted to see their message. And that's perfectly okay. And that, you know, that went about. In fact, those people were actually arrested, many
people
of them.
Who got too close and were outside the free speech zones, you know, so-called
and
free
speech
zones.
And even people within them were arrested. I mean, there were lots of protesters that ended up, you know, shackled.
Mm-hmm.
And so is there – there's that example, and then there's the example of Westboro Baptist Church outside a church.
Though? Was that ever – challenged?
Oh yeah, that's
and
well, there were lots of cases that were challenged, and I don't have all of that in front of me, but
were some of those overturned that they were arrested falsely? I think so.
We should look at that.
Yeah,
and see, because I don't know, and I don't want to say one way or the other if I don't have it. But the point being is that the Westboro Baptist Church is in view of the family and friends coming and going from a church at the time of a funeral. And I really think that there ought to be something in between, and namely in between those who are grieving and, you know, nut jobs like the Westboro Klan, who are really offensive in that moment. And they can protest if they want. They can do it where
a block away.
A block away, where they're not interfering and screaming things at people coming and going from a time of grief.
Mm-hmm. And that'll happen, and it'll come in just in time for Fred Phelps' funeral and the hundreds of thousands of people who are now pledging on Facebook. There's a big Facebook group that I plan to protest Fred Phelps' funeral, just in time so that we won't be able to protest his funeral.
Well, but what really kills me, I mean, because I usually go by and get news every day from lots of different sources. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to bring this up on Facebook at some point. Where do you get your news? But I always look at Fox News every morning to see what FoxNews.com to see what they're saying. And on these stories, you know, of course, my comments, whenever I attempt to do so, never make it through. But when you read some of the other comments, you know, these people are really angry with Westboro Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those people on the right are very angry with them and say they should be shot and all this stuff. But what really kills me is that they're not, you know, they've been doing that. They've been protesting us for years and nobody stepped up and said, these people are vile.
Mm-hmm.
But what did the gay community do? They, after years of this abuse from Westboro Baptist Church, some guy in Missouri came up with the idea of pledging and raising money for every minute that Westboro Baptist Church protests.
Mm-hmm.
He goes 42 minutes, then and you pledged $1 a minute, then that's $42 to some great cause in our community. So let's turn these lemons into lemonade.
Yeah.
And why are they not just ignoring these people or using it, turning it on them?
Because it's an embarrassment to them, because where is the line drawn between them and Westboro? And the line is only drawn when you distance yourself from them, because they're right there with them. They don't believe in protesting the military funerals, but they sure do believe that you
gay
and
people
I
are going to hell.
Yeah, and that you and I are the cause of any problem in this country. They sure didn't object when Jerry Falwell said we caused hurricanes, or we caused September 11th, or we caused Hurricane Katrina, or we caused a tornado.
We're pretty good at this. Causing
we are good. We
you know,
are
I'm
good
thinking,
at
you know,
things.
the first openly gay head of state in the world is now the Prime Minister of Iceland, and it could be that because she's a lesbian, the volcano erupted.
That's exactly right.
That's it. You know, I didn't think of that. I'm going to have to. I'll have to write about that this week. Have to write about that because you're right. She did cause this, but. Everybody is having to distance themselves from Fred Phelps. That is hard to say. Even
the KKK,
the Ku Klux Klan, has done that. Now, you and I were both reading the Ku Klux Klan's website because it's something that we do.
I looked at it before. It's interesting, very interesting.
It is amazing.
And what did they say about Westboro Church?
The Ku Klux Klan has distanced itself from Westboro Baptist Church, saying it, quote, absolutely repudiates the church's activities. So here it is, the KKK, an extreme right-wing hate group in the United States, said in a press release about its aims that it did not have any connection with the homophobic church. Led by Pastor Fred Phelps, the Westboro Baptist Church is notorious for causing distress to bereaved families by picketing the funerals of U.S. soldiers killed abroad and gay people. The church believes God is angry that the U.S., quote, enables homosexuality. In its release, the KKK says, quote, the Ku Klux Klan LLC has not or ever will have.
LLC, intern Alex is looking at me like, what
no,
is that?
No, I know what it is. It, I just, why the
they're incorporated.
Why?
Tax purposes.
Whatever. Yeah. Go on.
Okay. The Ku Klux Klan LLC has not or ever will have any, this is in caps, connection with the Westboro Baptist Church. We absolutely repudiate their activities. And we go on to say, both, however, are vociferously opposed to same-sex marriage, although the KKK now states it sees no issues with civil unions as an alternative.
Right. So that puts the KKK to the left of the Republican Party. Now, here's what I find interesting.
But, you know, George W.
That.
Bush said that, you know, he didn't believe in in same-sex marriage or marriage equality, but civil unions were okay. So.
Yeah, he did. Here's what I find interesting about that. What they're saying is exactly what we've been saying for years, that they believe that marriage is a religious rite. And they're saying that they don't believe that somebody who is married by a justice of the peace is married either. And so, therefore, there should be two separate things that we have. One is marriage, and marriage is done by a church. And then you have – and the reason I'm saying church and not church, synagogue, or mosque is because they're still to the right of everybody when it comes to Jews. So, you know, it's like I get it when from them because I'm Jewish, not because because of anything else. But they're saying that a marriage is done in a church. Anything other than that should be a civil union, that taxes, anything else related, you know, all those rights, visitation in the hospital, anything like that should be because of your civil union. And that only things that are given to you by the government are things that you should get as a result of your civil union, gay or straight, and that marriage, which they think is sacred, is something done in a church.
Well, essentially, you're saying religious marriage and civil marriage.
But that's what they're saying, too. So they're agreeing with us. Very frightening. Very, very frightening. But that puts them in policy to the left of the Republican Party on our issues.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
What do you do with
that? And certainly left of the Tea Partiers, I think.
Certainly to the left of the
Tea Partiers.
Yeah, they are. Why don't we go to the entertainment report? And because Lauren isn't here today, Patty happened to have a Melissa Etheridge thing.
Yes, in fact, Melissa Etheridge and Tammy Lynn have split up. They're ending their nearly 9-year relationship. Melissa's representative tells People magazine, "Melissa and Tammy Etheridge are saddened to announce that they are now separated. We ask for consideration and respect for our family as we go through this difficult period." So I guess she's going to be Tammy Lynn Michaels again.
Oh, has she been Tammy Lynn Mrs. Melissa?
Yes, they married in Malibu, in California, when they're part of one of those 18,000 couples.
Oh, 17,999. Let's remember that number.
Yes.
You had something else, didn't you?
Yes, there was a Christian music star, Jennifer Knapp, came out. And I'm not familiar with her music, but she has won a Dove Award, which is the Gospel Music Association's big thing. And she's been, I think, Grammy nominated. I don't know that she won. She did win a Dove Award in 1999. And then she sort of disappeared in 2003 from the music scene. And turns out now she's been in a relationship with a woman all that time.
Hmm. Now, I had never heard of her either. Did you know who she was? Okay. But we posted that on the Dallas Voice website, and I happened to have been looking at our stat counter at the time. And every time we refreshed it, you know, normally our stats go up. You know, we have a popular story, and you check later, and 25 more people looked at it. Was going up by refreshing it by 100 at a time.
Wow.
So, I mean, this is somebody who, you know, because of the, you know, the Google News linking into stories that The Voice does, it's bringing people to that site, but who don't know it's a gay and lesbian site, and they're just there for that specific article. I thought that was amazing. I never heard of her. You know, a lot of these people I've heard of, at least. I never heard of her. But it was getting hundreds of hits. Just, you refresh it. Oh, 700 people looked at it. Oh, 785 people looked at it. It was amazing how many people were interested in this story.
Well, she did make a couple of comments as part of her coming out. And she has a new album, of course, that she's pushing. I'm aware that the evangelical community has problems with divorce and many other facets of their artists, let alone homosexuality. I've really felt a strong obligation to be able to address that because for many people, it was really clear that they wouldn't participate in buying a record because it was against their beliefs. She goes on to say, for many people who buy Christian music or have been familiar with me and my writings as a person of faith, I've felt like it was the honest thing to do. The last thing I wanted to do was to have someone go out and buy a record and feel that they'd been hoodwinked. So, anyway, but she's not the first Christian singer-songwriter.
No, what's her name who
and I say Christian singer-songwriter in that that's their area of their musical genre.
Right.
There are lots of Christian singer-songwriters, but they don't do Christian rock or...
And what's her name who is the head of the Christian ministry BALM, B-A-L-M, something-something lesbian music is what it is. And she was just here a few weeks ago, Marsha Stevens, I think is the name.
No clue.
And, you know, very, very popular, and she came out a number of years ago. So, no, she's not the first one, but... this one, obviously, very...
Well, this is interesting. So it's, in 2008, Christian singer-songwriter Ray Bolts came out as a gay man after a 20-year career in the industry. In 2009, gospel star Tonex went public with his homosexuality as a guest on The Lexi Show, a popular program on the Christian channel The Word Network. Lexi, who is also a gospel music artist, said that while many in the Christian music industry are aware of who is gay, quote, we don't talk about it because it's the unspoken rule. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she went on to say that she doubts most fans will ever fully embrace an openly gay artist, but she points to other artists who have been able to straddle the line between secular music and songs of faith. Mm-hmm. So, we shall see.
Yeah, and my partner, who I was with for about 14 years before we met, he was a piano player for a Christian gospel group, and when they found out he was gay, he was out on his butt.
now, did you see
this? I thought that was very Christian of him.
Did you see this week David Mixner, who was an advisor to President Clinton?
He's been on our show.
And and obviously an activist. He put out his list of the 20 most powerful lesbians in American politics.
Mm-hmm. And?
Which I think is pretty interesting. He rates, number one, Rachel Maddow. Dr. Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, and would you agree with his number one?
I would. I think that she has probably the farthest reach on a regular basis.
I think she is right now.
I don't think there's any question of that. And he excluded people who were... you know, in the entertainment industry or sports or whatever. He was talking about influential in American politics.
Right, right.
Yeah, because one could argue that Ellen has the most power. And, in fact, Out magazine came out this week with its Power 50. And Ellen DeGeneres is, in fact, number one because she has a wider reach.
Yes.
But her focus isn't politics like Rachel Maddow.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, Ellen doesn't have a PhD from Oxford in, you know, political stuff.
Now, I disagreed with the ranking on a couple of those. There were a couple there I never even heard of that were higher than, say, Anise Parker. I think Anise Parker's election was huge this year and should have been in the top five. And
I think so, too. I would beg to differ probably with Pam Spalding. I would move
and
Pam Spalding.
And who is Pam Spalding?
She's the PamsHouseBlend.com. Mm-hmm. It's a very influential GLBT blog, but I don't know that she's
I've never heard of it.
Right, and, you know, and to rate that right up there along with Rachel Maddow. You know Rachel Maddow?
Yeah, I do.
Exactly. So
I watch her.
Yeah, so I don't think that those are really comparable.
Well, coming in at number 20 is Koya Artichoker. Love the name.
Uh-huh.
She's a young Native American activist who, despite being isolated in Rapid City, South Dakota, has already begun to leave her mark. Creating an organization known as Sacred Circle, she has worked tirelessly to end violence against Native American women. Look for this young woman to be a major national player in the future. So I think that's kind of interesting.
Well, we need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas.
Check out KNON's brand new website at www.knon.org. You can listen to KNON from anywhere in the world with our live internet broadcast stream. See the program schedule and info on all the DJs and formats. Find out about special events, upcoming benefits, and get advance tickets online. Go to KNON.org and support great community radio anytime by making a pledge of support to the voice of the people. The all-new KNON.org.
KNON presents Barbecue, Blues, and the Preacher, as in Mr. Jimmy Preacher Ellis, at Pearl on Sunday, April 25th. Appearing with Jimmy Preacher Ellis will be special guest Kirkland James, y Los Mojos. Free barbecue plates from Red Hot and Blue Barbecue. Jimmy Preacher Ellis was recently inducted into the Oklahoma Blues Hall of Fame. He was a member of Lowell Fulson's band and has played with Little Joe Blue, Albert King, Big Mama Thornton, and many others. The Jimmy Preacher Ellis Blues Band will bring toe-tapping down-home funky blues to Pearl for this big KNON Blues benefit. Also appearing is the unmistakable Kirkland James, y Los Mojos. Kirkland James' slide guitar, gut bucket blues brings a southern Louisiana blues twist to downtown Dallas for this big show. Come on out and hear some great blues, have some Red Hot and Blue barbecue, and support KNON's Texas Blues Radio on Sunday, April 25th. Tickets are only $6 in advance at KNON.org or at Pearl, 2038 Commerce in Dallas. The Jimmy Preacher Ellis Blues Band and Kirkland James y Los Mojos in a KNON Blues benefit on Sunday, April 25th at Pearl.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
It's time for
Those Darn Heterosexuals. In January, Clarence Burnett, 25, was applying to the Pensacola Sheriff's Department. The heterosexual knew that they were looking for honest recruits, so when they asked if he owned any child pornography, he said yes. And when asked if he'd ever had sex with an underage girl, he said yes. He's now serving 30 years in prison.
Nice. Here's how one Kansas City heterosexual mom protected her 27-year-old son. He had been charged with felony gun possession, so she told the police that he needed the gun to protect her from vampires. Well, you never know when they might.
You never know. You never know. Heterosexual televangelist Rod Parsley urgently needs several $1 million. Will you help him in his fight against Satan? His World Harvest Church faces a $3 million deficit to settle a child abuse lawsuit against its daycare facility. And this is a quote, "Will you help me take back what the devil stole?" asked Parsley. Donate now and help him keep his faith-based child-abusing daycare facility operating. And that's this week's
Those Darn Heterosexuals.
We had some elections this week, a couple of upsets. One of them was against an incumbent constable in Oak Cliff. Beth Villarreal won. Any comments?
Democratic primary, right?
Democratic primary, yeah, yeah, yeah. Beth is a PFLAG mom. She wasn't available for the screenings at Stonewall, so she wasn't eligible for the endorsement. But she's a PFLAG mom. She won, which I think is kind of interesting. Another one, Larry Duncan. Would you call him longtime ally?
I would.
He lost to Clay Jenkins. Opinion, you know, on Clay Jenkins, or?
Well, I talked to someone at The Voice about this earlier, who thought it was not even a story that Clay Jenkins took money from Bob Perry.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we're not. I guess The Voice isn't Fox News. They don't report and let others decide. So.
But
they're a real news agency.
And he took from both sides, though. Didn't he? Because I know I was at a young Stonewall Democrats meeting, and he was there, and it seemed like most of that group was supporting him. Stonewall Democrats supported Larry Duncan. Any opinion on if he's elected, how he'll do on our issues?
I don't know.
Don't know
him. I have no clue.
Have you spoken to him at all? Or
nope.
Have not?
Okay. Nope. I know Larry would have been great on our issues, but
yeah,
unfortunately
yeah,
that didn't happen.
Interesting race in El Paso. Norma Chavez is a state representative. She rides a motorcycle. She's not married. Running against Naomi Gonzalez. Naomi Gonzalez, Chavez accused of being a lesbian. Polls were showing Gonzalez was ahead. The lesbian won. The lesbian is unopposed in November, so she becomes state representative. But she's not out. If she is a lesbian, she is not out. If elected, when she's in office, if she comes out, she'll be our first openly gay state representative since Glenn Maxey.
Right.
When did he go out of office? Was it 2003?
It was when they redistricted. It was 2002, yeah. 2003?
I guess, yeah. So.
Yeah, actually, I sent her money Naomi Gonzalez. Naomi? Well, because Norma Chavez was the incumbent, mm-hmm. Basically gay-baited against her opponent.
She didn't do it, though. It was interesting. She didn't do it until polls were showing her behind. And isn't that interesting and good for her district that when she did that...
She lost.
She lost big. It wasn't that she lost. She ended up losing big. Are we at a point maybe where gay baiting... We're at a point where it doesn't always work, I guess.
No, it doesn't always work.
It's a step ahead, right?
It is. Well, it is a step in the right direction.
Seriously.
I mean, it's a Democratic district. It's a seat that's always been held by Democrats, which is why the Republicans did not even put up a candidate. But in a district like that, you don't always know what's going to work and what is. It's nice to know it didn't work. One other race here in Dallas, Eric Johnson won his primary against Terry Hodge, but then he had to run to fill her seat for this session because Terry Hodge has resigned from her seat. Now the Secretary of State is delaying confirming the election.
So bizarre. It's also
I've called the Secretary of State to see what the delay is, and they're supposed to get back to me on Monday. Eric is saying there are certain people who... No, he's not saying that. He said, don't quote me on this. He thinks certain people are putting off confirming the election. Yeah. When I spoke to the Secretary of State's office, I asked them, even though the election was canceled because he had no opponent, and in a not in a regular election, but in a special election, if there's only one person running, you can cancel the election and declare a winner. My question to them is, even though you've canceled the election, declared the winner, is it not confirmed until Election Day? And they said, you know, I think that is what the rule is that we're going by, but let me check.
But the whole point of a special election, which makes that question moot, I think, the whole point of a special election is to get someone in there today. Don't wait till Election Day.
Well, Eric is also saying that there's precedent for confirming the election immediately. When you've confirmed the election on the deadline day, on the filing day, that there is precedent for just then confirming the election. Anyway, that's my question to the Secretary of State. They should get back to me with an answer.
If they say Monday. Until Election Day, then there's no point in having special elections. There's really
I'm talking about special Election Day in May. May, yeah. As opposed to on filing day when they declared him, when they canceled the election. So we're talking about whether it's now or May, what was it, like May 10th, something like that.
And, you know, a lot of people wonder, well, why do they need to be in there? Because the legislature only meets every other year. But there are a lot that a legislator does.
Constituent services.
Constituent services.
There's one other reason, though. He gets tenure for this whole session, which means that next session he's not a freshman representative anymore, and that has to do with committee assignments for him also. It gives him more tenure as far as serving. So there's that reason for him and his district.
Yep.
Anything else with the elections? We have school board elections coming up.
There's a joint election on May 8th, which is Saturday. I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look. Anyway, it'll be coming up.
And that would have been the special election day. I said around May 10th, but it would have been a May 8th election.
Well, and the governor has an opportunity to, you know, depending on when the need for a special election arises, to say, well, let's just do it at the same time. Because, again, it's a cost. I mean, you have to get all those voting machines out. You got to pay all those people to sit by them and, you know, help voters get their ballots and get them into the machine and, you know, all of that. So there's a cost involved. So I think it's a good thing that he's combining it.
In Washington, Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens has announced that he's resigning at the end of this term or retiring, and there has been a lot of talk, of course, this happens every time, who's going to be the next Supreme Court Justice. One of the people that's being considered is the Solicitor General. The Solicitor General is the person who pleads a case for the government.
Represents the United States.
Represents the United States in all cases before the Supreme Court. And I'm saying before, for all cases, one person doesn't represent for all cases, but the Solicitor General is that head person and does the most high-profile cases, him or herself. Solicitor General right now is Elena Kagan. You know, she's presumed to be a leading candidate, and somebody from the Bush administration, his name is Ben Domenech, called CBS News and said that, of course, Obama could please much of his base by picking the first openly gay justice. And an administration official who asked not to be identified discussing personal matters said Kagan, Elena Kagan, who is the Solicitor General, is not a lesbian. That's what they said.
Well, my understanding of it was that he didn't call them up. He wrote it on his blog. But I could be wrong.
My understanding was that he contacted somebody at CBS, and it was on a CBS news blog.
Oh, I thought they just copied it from his.
Oh, okay.
And that could be his blog.
That could be what it is. Okay.
But no, he's written a rebuttal to all of this, and it's been posted on Huffington Post, but I haven't read it yet. You know, kind of like defending what he did, I guess.
Anyway, so we could have our first openly lesbian Supreme Court justice.
Well, if we don't know that she is or is not gay. She hasn't self-identified.
Sonia Sotomayor, who is also not married.
But that doesn't mean she's gay.
I know it doesn't. I'm saying it might not be the first one is what I'm saying.
Well, there might have been other Supreme Court justices, male or female, who have been gay and we haven't known.
Right. I'm just saying first openly lesbian. And we have one right now.
But they're not open. I mean, even if they are, they're not open.
They're not open. And we have one right now who everybody says is gay too. What's his name?
Scalia?
No. Anyway. An important ruling.
Mm-hmm. But while we're on that, real quick, I think she's probably one of the best nominees from a political standpoint and from a court standpoint. For President Obama to nominate. And here's why. Because she's already been confirmed through the Senate judiciary process to be Solicitor General of the United States. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they would be very hard-pressed to – and she's been Dean of Harvard Law School and lots of different things. And the right actually is very pleased with her because she believes in lots of executive power, you know, unitary executive. But since she's already been through that process very recently with the very same people who would have to confirm her for the United States Supreme Court, she would make a logical choice because they would be very hard pressed. And what's been an interesting position for many of the Republicans now in the Senate is that whoever it is, if they vote for them, then it will make their vote against Sotomayor look like they voted against her strictly because she was a Latina.
Oh, yeah. You know,
in a bad place.
Some of these senators who I heard talking about Sotomayor this year, they were talking about how, you know, this time hopefully he'll get somebody with more experience. Now, of all the criticisms that you can have about her, she had more judicial experience
than anybody
else in the history of the United States. She has sat on an appellate court bench longer than any other appointee ever. So saying I want somebody with more experience than her means that what they're saying is they find Scalia and
Alito,
all of them, unqualified, which is fascinating.
And John Roberts.
You can dislike her. You can dislike her opinions. That's not one of the things that you should be discounting her about. There was an adoption case this week in Arkansas, and a circuit court judge in Pulaski County overturned a statewide ban on unmarried couples who are living together, including same-sex couples, but not exclusively, from adopting or fostering children. It was called Act One. It was approved by voters in 2008, and it was challenged by the ACLU on behalf of several families. One of the families that was challenging it, it was a lesbian couple, two gay male couples, three children in foster care who were suing, saying, we can't find foster homes because of this ban, and two married heterosexual couples who had designated in their will that gay couples be the adoptive parents of their kids in the event of their death. So in other words, And this was, I think, a very a brilliant strategic move on their part by saying, you're restricting this heterosexual couple from designating who they want as the guardian of their children because... you know, because they can't choose anymore. They can't choose from everything.
See, that's what's so freaky to me. Is that, you know, once you register with a straight person who's anti-gay, mm-hmm. that somehow they're going to lose rights if they don't give rights to LGBT people. Suddenly, action is taken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wait for that person in Texas who gets fired because somebody thought they were gay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well,
and that's what I've been saying for years. Well, that's what I've been saying for years. You know, end is one thing, but if we had a court case, the court case that we'd win is when the gay company fires the straight employee and says, no, I'm firing you because you're straight, makes it real clear.
I don't think it needs to be a gay company. I don't even think that's the reality that would ever occur. I think it would be a straight company, a good old boy company here in Texas.
Oh, and the person himself happens to be straight and maybe even married and whatever. But
work for that company for 20 years.
Huh. See, I was thinking more the gay company or just a regular company where the HR person is gay saying, no, I don't like you. You're straight, and I think you're obnoxious about being straight, and you're fired, and, you know, yeah, we're getting rid of you.
I just don't think it would happen unless it was done deliberately.
Well, lots of cases are done deliberately. I wouldn't put it past somebody
okay
for doing it.
If it works, why not?
And I think it has a good chance of working. I think it has a real good chance of working.
Well, I really do think it's going to be a Texas company, just a good old boy company, and it's going to be a straight person who is, you know, accused, I guess,
mm-hmm.
of being gay as their reason for being fired. And that is a case that would move it.
Yeah, and you're right. And you're right. And that's what we need to see, because most civil rights are gained through court cases. They can legislate all they want, and, you know, even if they're legislating, they can legislate all they want, and then it's going to be challenged in court.
So I mean, I don't have a problem with making up cases. Go for it.
Well, a lot of them are. I mean, a number of people have said that even Rosa Parks, moved from the back of the bus, that Rosa Parks was deliberate and it was planned.
Well, it worked.
But it worked.
So what's the problem?
But it worked. It's what's remembered.
Aaron just called and said we've had lots of dead air. So just FYI.
Huh, because I've had my headphones on. It's
well,
been,
hopefully
been
that recorded, and then we can, everybody
we will air
online, lambdaweekly.com.
And thank you very much, and we have been recording our shows,
and
they are available now.
And it did not pop out and die.
It did not pop out and die. We have 1 week that's missing, because 15 minutes into the show, the machine that records and just the CD popped out, and it died. But you can download podcasts of our show. LambdaWeekly.com.
Or through iTunes.
Yes, it is on iTunes.
We've had a number of people who've subscribed to the show
who
are listening from out of the area. Because otherwise, if you just listen on KNON.org, all you can do is listen.
Live stream.
On a live stream. Anything to wrap it up?
Not that I can think of.
One little quickie thing, the non-discrimination case going on at DART. I was down at a DART board meeting this week, a committee meeting, and oh my God, it was like they had no idea what had even brought up transgender rights. I mean,
well, I went in the evening. Uh-huh. I did the train down there, and you know, it spits me out right in front of the building. Went to the DART board meeting, and you went to a committee meeting.
I went to a committee meeting, right.
And I was the only one who spoke on this issue. Mm-hmm. And we were done in 12 minutes, stepped outside, caught the 6:43 train that went by, and was back at White Rock Station by 7.
But at this committee meeting, it was like they had no idea what the issue even was. Like, they haven't been listening. I think they don't know what a transgender person is. We are completely out of time.
I was just going to say, we need to do a transgender show.
And we are going to, and thanks for listening to Lambda Weekly.